I promised y'all we were going to start with covenants in the Bible. Covenants in the Bible. So we're going to try to take them in order unless for some reason I miss one. Let me know when we're good. Are we good? All right. We're going to start with the covenants. We're going to take them in order unless I mess up. We're going to start with the Adamic covenant. Now, this covenant is not typically listed in the list of Bible covenants. They normally start with Noah. And I have yet to figure out why they want to skip Adam. But for some reason, they like to skip Adam. Now, as I said in the previous message, we need to be Torah observant as we get into these covenants. Why? Because if you're not living according to your end of the bargain, you can't claim the benefits. Come on now. I love to hear people say, oh, I've got this great benefit from God because I'm in covenant with Him. Well, if you're in covenant with Him, it means you're fulfilling your end of the bargain. Amen? Look, if anyone's ever bought or sold a house, you know it says in the contract, I, meaning you, the buyer, covenant to do certain things, namely pay for the property. Okay, the seller covenants with the buyer to deliver clear title to the property. Well, if you don't furnish the funds, how do you claim the title? Come on now. So you've got to be Torah observant to claim the benefits of these covenants. Now, we're going to talk about them because, look, every covenant to follow the covenant given to Adam builds on what God promised. Okay? So if you're not fulfilling the obligations that you have under the covenant of Adam, you can't claim any benefits for the covenant of Noah or the covenant of Abraham or any of the ones to follow because you're not following the basic tenets of the first covenant. Each of these covenants builds on the other. They're building promises to you, and they're building responsibilities and obligations to you. Look, we're going to quote Jesus here. If you can't fulfill and walk out what God said to do with the covenant with Adam, you're not in the ball game anymore. So don't come back and say, well, I'm walking in this covenant or that. If you're not walking with the first one, you're not walking in none of them. Okay? So everyone builds on the next. You can't pick and choose what you like and what you don't. You either comply with the terms or you don't. If I fail to provide clear title to a property, game's up. There's no more going on with it. If the buyer fails to furnish the funds, guess what? Had a contract for all my duplex, right? They failed to get funds. They didn't get bought. I mean, they didn't meet the qualifications at the bank to get a mortgage, therefore they didn't furnish funds, and nothing happened. It expired useless. Okay? If we're not going to walk in covenant with God, then guess what? All the benefits expire useless. If we want to receive the benefits of the covenant, we have to live up to our part of the bargain. In other words, we told God we'd do it, we got to make our word good. Amen? That's why we focus on the things that we do. But these covenants talk about stuff. So, self, do I want to be in covenant with God Almighty? Well, if you do, then you have to make sure that your behavior is circumspect in that regard and that you comply with the terms. Or put another way, you got to keep your word. Or put it a third way, you have to do what you told God you would do.
Amen.
Amen. You got to do it. Genesis 1, verse 28. Boy, I am so thankful to all of y'all that pitched in and bought me this new Bible last year at the feast. I can't tell you how thankful I am. It may not have my study notes, but I couldn't read them up here anyway. Okay, and I can read this without glasses. And I am so grateful to y'all. Y'all just don't know. I mean, every week I get up here, I think about how wonderful y'all were to get me this. Then God said, I'm sorry, verse 28. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it. So you've been given a commission to fill this earth and subdue it. Now, the promise here and the command, the grant you have been given to be fruitful and multiply comes first in the natural as we get married and we have children. Of course, some folks are here and saying, I'm not going to get married and I'm not going to have children, but that's your business. But for those of us who were married and had children, that is fulfilling that promise in the natural. Now, every one of us has an obligation to fulfill that in the spiritual. And to be fruitful and multiply is to witness to people of the hope you have within you. That is, Mashiach has come according to the promise, and He has freed me from the shackles of death. Now I am inviting you to come and live this glorious way of life in the freedom of God. Now, speaking of which, I forgot to bring it up here. We got tons of those local feast planners. Be sure to pass these out like water. You know, if we need more, we'll get more. I mean, don't just take them and leave them at home on the dresser. I mean, take them home and give them out. They don't do any good here in the church. They don't do any good in the car. They only do good when they're in somebody's hand. So, look, we'll buy all we need to, just pass them out. If they throw them away, that's a different ballgame. But anyway, we got to be fruitful and multiply, subdue the earth, rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground. This is part of your covenant. You've been given power and dominion, as it puts it in the Old King James, over the earth. And as Raina was talking about last week, you're either working for the kingdom of God or you're working for the kingdom of the devil. Every given moment, every decision you make, you're either working for the kingdom of God or working for the kingdom of the devil. You've been given a grant over the entire earth to subdue it, be fruitful and multiply, and we have to look at this from a spiritual kingdom of God outlook, because Adam was created to bring the kingdom of God to earth. He was not just created to walk around here as a sentient being in a body of flesh. He was given power to bring the entire earth back into the kingdom of God. Remember, the devil was already here when Adam got here. The devil's kingdom was already established over the earth with the fallen angels when Adam got here. Adam's covenant was to bring the kingdom of God to earth. Your covenant, if you're going to walk in the Adamic covenant, your covenant, verse 28, you are to bring the kingdom of God into the earth. Wherever you go, wherever you do, whatever you say, wherever the soles of your feet, you are to bring the kingdom of God to earth. And if you're not bringing the kingdom of God to earth, if you're merely just being passive, you are allowing the kingdom of the devil to advance over the kingdom of God, because at whatever point you are neutral, you surrendered ground. We have to be always active on this. Now, chapter 2, verse 15. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. You're to dress it and keep it. You were given this grant to dress it and to keep it, both in the natural and in the spiritual. Passive activity, as we're going to see in a minute, allows the kingdom of the devil to encroach. Passive activity. We have to be actively dressing and keeping God. Look, God is a God of order and a God of discipline and a God of rule and a God of beauty. The laws of entropy, which came into effect at the fall of Adam, mean that everything is in decay. Weeds, thorns, and thistles are on the advance, and we have to actively beat back the kingdom of the devil. Okay, we're going to get into that. So, this is your grant. You've been granted the territory of the earth, and our job is to bring forth the kingdom of God into the earth. That means we're to bring order and beauty and rule. Not any rules, the law of God. That's why we had to know the Torah. Look, don't let anybody deceive you on this. That first Shabbat, God was teaching Adam the rules of the Torah. Okay? Amen? God was teaching them the rules of order, His mind, His way of life, that first Shabbat. They weren't just sitting around looking at the wilderness and the wildlife. You know? That first Shabbat, God was there explaining them His way of life, His way of give, His way of outgoing concern, His way of bringing order into chaos and beauty into disaster. Amen? And so now you've been given covenant to rule the earth with power and dominion. Look, God gives you authority to go with the grant. You've been given a grant to subdue the earth, and you've been given the authority from Him to do it. At the fall, Adam surrendered his authority to the devil. But if you have been redeemed by Yeshua from the curse, You have that authority. Problem is the devil keeps us hoodwinked into thinking that he's still got the authority and we have to just yield to whatever he wants. We've got the authority. The problem is we don't want to use the authority. Come on. All righty. I forgot to set my timer. So how much time have I used already? 10? Okay, so I'm 10 behind. All right, good enough. Now, all of the Hebrew language, as Brad Scott taught us, is based around a man and a woman that equals a family, a house, and a piece of ground. Okay? The whole Hebrew language, the alphabet, the words are all constructed around one man and one woman equals one family, a house, and a piece of ground. Why? Because our entire Adamic covenant is built around one man and one woman equals a family, a house, and a piece of ground. Every human life is constructed around that. Hey, we like living indoors, right? Come on now. Come on now. We like living indoors. It means we got to keep working, right? Because we like living indoors. Come on. We like living indoors. So every person can relate to a man and a woman becoming a family, a house, and a piece of ground. You know, it's hardwired in your DNA. Little girls like to play house, right? Come on, look at any little girl. They all play house. Every one of you played house. Hey, it's no different for the boys. Hey, every one of us, if we didn't have them, we lusted for them, had bulldozers and little Tonka toys, and we played subduing the earth. We played cars, if nothing else. Come on now, we're hardwired. Look, presidents, Bush and Reagan, what do? When they get time off, they go clear brush at their farm and they love it. Come on, every one of us is hardwired to go tend our piece of property. Every woman is hardwired to tend the house. Why? Because God wired your brain that way. Hey, even Andy Griffith, all right, y'all remember Andy Griffith? When he retired from Matlock, what did he say? He said, I've got my property in North Carolina, I want to go clear brush. Amen? We're hardwired to want to do this. Now, this is your first covenant, is to take care of your family, your house, and your land. Okay? Your Adamic covenant was to take care of your family, your house, and your land. You got to do that. Okay? People think I'm crazy when I talk like this, but look, if you don't take care of your property, who's going to give you their property? Oh, we're going to cut deep now. Look, is your first responsibility to God. The Lord, the great King, the sovereign, and that word is very important because when you get into these covenants, you have covenants of a sovereign granting you privilege and responsibility. You have covenant of parity between two equals where they call my brother, right? My brother. Matter of fact, I was reading in Kings here not too long ago about how where Ahab called Ben-Hadad his brother when God wanted Ben-Hadad put to death, and he made a covenant of parity with him, and the Lord was just belligerently hostile towards Ahab for that. And then you have the suzerain vassal covenant where you have the great king is granting to a vassal king, and the vassal king has to pledge his absolute fidelity and loyalty to the great king, right? Here you have the sovereign of the universe granting you authority and granting you power and territory in the earth. And every one of us has got to take that realm of influence, our sphere of influence, that place where you have control, and you have to transform it to look like the kingdom of God. This is the Adamic covenant. Some people don't have a house. But where's your sphere of influence? Some people don't have property, but what's your sphere of influence? Does it look like the kingdom of God? Because you see, if what you have control over, oftentimes referred to as within your gates in the Bible, if what's within your gates does not look like the kingdom of God, then you have to ask yourself, who am I working for? Because you see, your grant, your authority, if you're going to be a son of the Adamic covenant, you have to take what's within your realm of influence, within your sphere of influence, and you have to conform it to the kingdom of God because that's your duty to the grantor of your authority. He's your sovereign. And you're showing your fidelity and your loyalty to your sovereign by taking what's within your realm and conforming it to His kingdom. Now, I'm not quite finished with Raina's sermon from last week, but she told you if you weren't doing that, then you're working for the devil. Where? Come on. I heard most of it. I'm down to the last track. Come on. Y'all heard that. So you're either conforming your world to God's or you're acquiescing and letting the devil just take it. Oh, wow. And you become out of covenant. Like I said, if you're not walking in the Adamic covenant, look, I know we're going deep here, all right? I know, we've talked Torah, that's elementary school. Now we're up into some heavy high school classes. If you're not going to walk in the Adamic covenant, you don't have no part with Noah. Come on. I mean, you have to. A, B, C, you have to start with A. Now, your authority on earth is based on how well you take care of what God has given you. The great King, God Almighty, has granted you a realm of influence, a sphere of influence, and how well you conform it to the kingdom of God determines how well you're in covenant with Him and whether you'll get more. I mean, come on. We always talk about walking in lack. I love to hear these prosperity teachers. Oh, we're going to claim this, we're going to claim that. Look, if you're not walking in covenant, you can claim all you want to. It ain't coming to your house. You've got to walk in covenant with what you have to get more. Now, Luke, we're going to start cutting hard. Luke 16. The sovereign of the universe has granted you to possess something of value, and how well you care for it is going to determine a lot of things with your relationship with Him. Luke 16 and verse 10. Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. So if God grants you whatever He grants you and you take care of it well, then He knows if I can trust you with that, I can trust you with anything. Right? And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. So if He trusts you with a 10 and you steal it, He knows He can't trust you with 100. And He's sure not going to trust you with 10,000. Amen? But if He can trust you with a dollar, He knows you'll be good with a million. Come on. I mean, He's telling you straight out here that when I grant you something, I'm watching what you do with it. And how well you take care of your business is how well you'll always take care of it. And if you'll do me right on a dollar, I can trust you with a million. Now, look at this. Next verse, this is going to hurt. Y'all ready? So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with the true riches? If you're not willing to walk in the Adamic covenant with what I've already given you, why do you think I'm going to trust you with power and authority and influence in my kingdom? If He can't trust you with one man and one woman equals a family, if He can't trust you with a house, if He can't trust you with a piece of property, what makes you think He's going to give you a city in the kingdom of God? Ooh. We have to show Him in this life we're willing to walk out His way of life and that we're going to be trustworthy, by golly, no matter what. Because that's how you build yourself for the kingdom of God. And if you have not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who's going to give you property of your own? Ooh. Ooh. No servant can serve two masters. Either he'll hate the one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to one and despise. You cannot serve both God and money. In other words, if God gives you a house and you don't take care of it, then what makes you think He's going to give you a position of authority in the kingdom of God? If you can't take care of the house you live in where you carry your flesh and you've got to live and eat and breathe and sleep, what makes you think He's going to give you cities or territory? You know, we have to look at our life and say, this is what God has granted me by His sovereign authority. I'm going to take care of it. I'm going to make what I have look like the kingdom of God. Come on. I'm going to make it look like the kingdom of God. If you can't be trusted with your own family, why would God trust you with a church? Oh. That's why the New Testament talks so much about elders and deacons being married. It's not so much that the marital state is so much more supreme than the other. It's that in the marital state, you are subject to stresses. Come on. Your subject, hey, your character isn't built in a marriage. Your character is demonstrated in a marriage. Amen? And when you have children, it kicks it up about 50 notches. So if you can't be trusted in that situation to do the right thing, then it's evident to everybody. And so God is saying that if you want to have X, Y, and Z in my kingdom, I've got to see how you perform in these situations. Because trust me, being over a church is a lot more stressful than having a family. Even when it's going well. Huh? But it's the same exact issues that you have in a family. So if you can be trusted with little, then he can trust you with much. Okay? How you take care of a piece of property is just how the same as you would govern a territory. If you can be trusted to keep it up. See, we always elected people and then later we're like, I don't know why we elected that fool. He ain't done a thing since he's been in that office. All he's done is tear everything up. The roads are run down. See, if you won't take care of your own property, you're not going to take care of the roads if you govern a territory because you don't have a clue what you're supposed to do. Come on, y'all. This is just basic common sense. If you can't dress and keep and beautify your property, God, why would God trust you with property on the earth? If you can't maintain, fix up, and make beautiful your own house, why would God trust you with His? You see, how we demonstrate what we have is exactly the way we will be in the kingdom of God. Now, how about if God blesses you with a car? See, we all have to have cars, right? If you tear it up, why do you think God's going to give you another one? Now, come on, we all have first cars, right? And we all learned the hard way with that first one. Come on now, my dad bought me a $100 Opel Cadet. I mean, you literally had to push the thing on the highway, keep it highway speed. You know, we would rock in the thing to try to get it to go up to speed. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it wouldn't have its own way on a bed. Old four speed, I mean, it just had no power at all, man. It was shot when I got it. But he knew I would tear up my first car, so he wasn't going to put any money in my first car. It was the third car before he spent any money on it. Actually, my dad was a car dealer. He got the third car free. It was a gimme deal, but that's another ballgame. But, you know, the point is that we all realize our first car is a loser because we don't have a clue what we're doing, and we just ransack it. Come on, y'all. I mean, you know. But now, as we grow in life, you didn't wreck your first car? Oh, well, good for you. Later, okay. So anyway, how well we take care of it shows God whether we're deserving of a better car. Okay? So when you look at your property and your possessions, the Adamic covenant says, I will make this look like the kingdom of God. Now, look, everybody has a bad week sometimes. And I'm not talking about in your worst weeks when the devil's run you like crazy, that everything in your life has to be just manic, perfect. But I'm talking about the habitual course of your life. What does your life look like on a normal basis? Everybody has a bad week, okay? If your life continually, habitually looks like a wreck, then you need to stop and you need to think, this is not God's mind here. I need to make adjustments. I need to make adjustments because my life is supposed to reflect the kingdom of God. Not on that occasional, I couldn't get her done basis, but on that normal, everyday, day in and day out basis, my life should reflect the kingdom of God. And all the things I have control over should reflect the kingdom of God. You see, the Adamic covenant is the covenant and the grant and the authority and the power to bring the kingdom of God into the earth, not to perpetuate the kingdom of the devil. Now, every person here on this earth is deputized to dress and keep God's great green earth. Every one of us is deputy dog to go out and beat back the power of the devil to make it look the way God wants it to look. God is a God of order, God is a God of rule, and He's a God of beauty. Right? I mean, He likes beauty. I mean, go to Niagara Falls and look at it. I mean, it's gorgeous, right? Go to the Grand Canyon. It's just like breathtaking. There's so many things. If you look at God's creation the way He did it, it is awesome and fabulous. If you get a Hubble telescope or one of the new telescopes out in space and you look at it in deep space, it is mind-blowing, right? He is a God of beauty and order. So when we're having our daily life, we should not be making things continually that are a wreck. Because that's the devil's world. When the devil was cast down to the earth, it wrecked the earth. and darkness was on the face of the deep, and God had to come and recreate it. Amen? The devil's rule is characterized by wreck and ruin and destruction. When he gets into a person's life, they don't come and have a good life. Even when they quote unquote have success, like some of our stars out there, their life is characterized by drug abuse, by immoral and illicit relationships, and it eventually always ends up with severe psychological problems and breakdown and sometimes suicide. Come on, y'all. Look how many we have to watch. When the devil gets in your life, oh, it may look good from a worldly basis, but it rapidly falls apart. The kingdom of God is exactly the opposite. When God gets in your life, those of us who had no sense at all start all of a sudden making sense. I tell you, my family will always be looked at weird in the kingdom of God. You knew that boy before he got saved? And that didn't make you change your mind about God? You saw that boy change? And you just kept on with what you had? Oh, something wrong with y'all. Every one of us, when we get saved, should begin to reflect more and more of the kingdom of God. All of our insanities should fall away, and we should become sound-minded with the Spirit of God. We should have that love, and we should begin to walk in the power and authority of covenant, because we're walking in the covenant by fulfilling it and living out what we're supposed to do. So, are you building God's kingdom, or are you building the devil's kingdom? What does your bodily motion bring about? Every day as you go through the steps of your life, everywhere you go, you should leave a trail of the kingdom of God behind you. Everything you touch should be kicked up a little bit more toward the kingdom of God, a little bit more toward the kingdom of God. Everything we do should reflect God's kingdom. All of our bodily motions. Because like Raina pointed out last week, every bodily motion that does not advance the kingdom of God is simultaneously advancing the devil's by default. And we don't want to do that. Our Adamic covenant says we were given a grant by God Almighty to subdue the earth. That means we've got to be subduing the earth. We're not necessarily going to do that like Islam would do with the sword and military power to force everybody to convert. But we need to be bringing the love of God, the soundness of God, the clear-mindedness of God to every situation we go. And so when we're at work and chaos breaks out because the devil's running amok in the lives of other people at work, we should be the ones who are clear-minded, sober, self-controlled, and demonstrating the kingdom of God in that situation. When we get a chance to witness to somebody, they ask, why do you go to church on Saturday? That's stupid. And then you get a chance to say, give them the reason for the hope within you. Well, that's God's Shabbat, and He makes time for us on Sabbath from Friday sundown to Saturday sundown, and there's presence in the day. Oh, that's horse stuff. Well, it's right there in the Bible. We see He sanctified the day. You know, every time you get in a situation, you've got an opportunity to advance the kingdom of God. Now look, sometimes you're like me and you're asleep and you didn't catch it. All right, but there'll be enough opportunities in a day's time that even if you're half awake, you'll catch some of them. Amen? And so every day we should be able to take a little piece of ground for the, we've got to get kingdom of God minded. We have got to get our minds on the kingdom of God because it is so close at hand. Yes. Now I say that. You realize prophetically any time within 10 years is really close. Amen? Hearing all these people freaking out about the presidential election, and frankly, I'm pretty freaked about it myself. But, you know, the thing is, we very may well live through an entire Barack Obama administration. Yeah, life will be hard. You can bet on that. If the man, even with the majority he's got, with the slim majorities in House and Senate he has right now, he will get most of his program passed, and you'll be having $12 gas, and your food budget will... the amount of groceries, cost of groceries will quadruple from here because that's the way the policies are designed to do it. He's trying to make your food so expensive that you have to live like a third world country and your fuel so expensive you have to live like a third world country because he thinks it's unfair that you live like you do in the United States when everybody else goes without. Now you realize in Texas, South Texas especially, that the cost of electricity is up 4 times what it was last year, and people are having to live without air conditioning in 100 plus degree heat. You realize that, right? You realize that, right? That's going on right now. As we're enjoying this nice cool breeze in 100 degree heat here in Tennessee. But look, what these people want to do is reduce your standard of living radically. Way back in the day, in Dry Dead Church, that was one of our four great commissions, was prepare to reduce your standard of living because of what we read in the Bible. And I was talking to them about prophets. When we get through covenants, we're going to get a chance to get into prophets. These prophets tell us everything that's going to happen in the last days. In other words, it reads like the newspaper. But it's telling you the cause. Everybody wants to look for a conspiracy theory. Oh, the Illuminati, the this, the that, the yonder. Let me tell you something. History, the lessons of history are always right in your face, extremely simple and very obvious, but nobody wants them. It's not complicated enough for people. They always want to go to some conspiracy theory to prove what's going on. Let me tell you what's going on in America. We've rejected the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and He has given us over to abject stupidity. And that's what's going on in this country right now. Abject stupidity. You know, I got this one customer's got a poster on his wall. I love it to death. And it says, never underestimate the power of stupid people in large numbers. And you're about to see this portrayed on the national scene. The power of stupid people in large enough numbers to elect a majority and take the whole country down a path that is ridiculous in the extreme. But that's... So what is your sphere of influence bringing to the earth? What does your rule look like? Where you rule, where you have control, what does your rule look like? Does your rule bring the order and the rule and the beauty to your sphere of influence, or does your rule look like wreck and ruin? We all got to think about this. This is real. You know, I was also thinking in the yard yesterday, you know, in God's economy, there is no waste. God's economy, there is no waste. The leaves that fall off the tree make fertilizer. Funny, they fall off right under the drip line. Isn't it amazing how that works? They fall right where they have to be. Not only that, but that leaf cover kills out the weeds, so the tree continually has what it needs without competition. See, God's way is perfect. There's no waste. There's no waste. Something eats everything after it dies. There's nothing in the entire biosphere that something doesn't eat it after it dies. And all of the products of all of these things being eaten and whatever all make food for something else. So as the whole process works, it continually gets better and better and better. The more leaves fall, the more bugs, the more beneficial fungus, the more that all these beneficial organisms work under the tree, the better the tree is, so the more leaves fall. Everything in God's economy makes better, 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 better. And that's the way it should be in our life. From the time we get saved and take in Jesus Christ and get the Holy Spirit, and most especially after we get the Holy Ghost baptism, it ought to really kick up into high gear, our life should be one continual process of betterment. Because that's the mind of God. That's how God's economy works. That's how His covenant works. Now, let's go to Genesis 3. Because we all know that even though they were given this great covenant to subdue the earth and the power and the authority to subdue the earth and control it and to be fruitful and multiply, they didn't do that, did they? He told them, of all the trees in the garden, you can eat whatever you want. But this one tree, don't touch it. Don't even touch it. And they're like, well, we have to go touch that tree. Now, if you hadn't told me not to, I wouldn't have had to have done it. But since you said I couldn't eat it, I have to have it now. And so we talk about the fall of Adam. But I want you to consider the curse. Because what God did in this curse is not punish them. God in the curse required them to fulfill their covenant obligations. Oh, wow. You see, once the grant was given, He wasn't going to take it back. Once the authority was extended, He wasn't going to take it back. In the curse, He orders and commands compliance. He commands compliance. Genesis 3, verse 16. To the woman, I will greatly increase your pains in childbearing, and in pain you will give birth to children. You will give birth to children. So now she was told to be fruitful. Now she's commanded, you will give birth to children. Your desire will be for your husband. He will rule over you. Okay? They were supposed to work together, but she jumped out on her own. Now he's ordered her to take second place. Now look, that was not for her subjugation. The woman is not ordered to be under the man so that the man will rule over her. He has been given to her in this capacity so that he will protect her. Y'all didn't get that. She's commanded to take second place so that he will protect her and she won't have to worry about the snake anymore. In other words, the snake can't come to you. He's got to go to Adam. It's not subjugation, it's protection so that she can be nurtured and cared for. See, God is so good. We look at this the wrong way all the time. You know, y'all remember those little 3D images a couple years ago and you'd fuzz your eyes out and these pictures would come out in the 3D images? And some people would see them come out, some people would see them go in. We're looking at it the wrong way. We're seeing it in a bad way, but God gave it in a good way. The woman went out and ventured out on her own and got her head handed to her by the snake. So God says, get behind the man so he can protect you from the snake. And we're looking at it as a bad thing. It's not a bad thing. He's ordering compliance with the covenant. Y'all were supposed to work together. But since you wanted a wildcat and showboat on your own, let the man protect you from the snake next time. All right? The man was standing right there. Why did he protect her the first time? Okay? All right? So, since he didn't follow his covenant obligation, guess what? Since he didn't follow his covenant obligation, now he's commanded, put the woman behind you so you face the snake, buddy. Huh? I mean, we're looking at this thing all wrong. We're looking at it all wrong. God is requiring covenant compliance now. He's saying, you didn't do what you were supposed to, therefore I will order you to do what you're supposed to. We just look at it wrong. All right. Now, the man is supposed to bring beauty to the earth, right? So drop on down here, verse 17. To Adam he said, because you listened to your wife and ate from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat of it. Now you'll stand in front of her and you'll fight that snake whether you like it or not. Huh? Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil you will eat of it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles and weeds, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow you will eat your food until you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken. For dust you are, and to dust you will return. Okay, he's supposed to bring beauty to the earth, so guess what? Now he's commanded to go till the soil. And now, because he acquiesced to the kingdom of the devil, now the kingdom of the devil is going to march out against him by producing thorns and thistles and weeds. And to make food grow, he's got to go out there every day and fight them. But what's God commanding him to do? Go fight the kingdom of the devil and make this place beautiful every day. Right? Thorns, thistles, and weeds represent the kingdom of the devil and the demonic powers in your life. And you're commanded to go out there and chop them down every day to bring beauty to the earth and to till the soil for your food. Thorns represent the kingdom of the devil, bringing chaos to the earth. Think about it. What happens if you don't go out and weed your garden? It becomes chaos. It takes about 2 weeks here with the crabgrass. And it's lost. You can hang it up. Just get the lawnmower out and mow it all down because it's over. I mean, it's done. You ain't going to get nothing out of it. Just mow it down and re-till it and start all over again. It takes 2 weeks. At least in my yard, it takes 2 weeks. Crabgrass has completely overpowered it in 2 weeks. So the point being that we now have to actively go out and do what we were told to do in the first place, and that is bring the kingdom of God to earth by destroying the chaos and bringing order and God's rule. Not any rule, but the rules of His law. See, we have to govern with His mind, not our mind. It's not about our rule, it's about His rule. We're not supposed to bring our rule to earth because it will look just like the kingdom of the devil. Why? Because we think too much like the devil. Because we've been raised with that. Human nature is not something you're born with. Human nature is something the devil cultivates in you your whole life. We have to stop our human nature and go back to the Torah, the Word of God, and say, this is the order and the mind and the rightness of God. This is what I'm supposed to administer. not just whatever I feel like. Because look, we all have those feelings and they're not always right. So we have to go back and administer everything according to the kingdom of God in our sphere of influence, chopping down the thorns, the thistles, and the weeds when they come up. Amen? We're to beautify the earth and to make it right. Now, we have to do it God's way. And if we do not, we're doing it the devil's way by default. Now, some people have to prove themselves. Come on. A lot of us have gone through this in life. We got to go prove ourselves. That's another way of trying to redeem yourself from the Adamic curse. In other words, every one of us, every human being that's ever lived has broken the Adamic covenant by being slack, not bringing the kingdom of God to our world, and just letting the kingdom of the devil run wild in our life. When we have to go out and prove ourselves, we're trying to prove to God we're still worthy. Hey, hang it up. It's over. None of us can do that. And we'll wreck our psychological health trying. We're beyond all help. There's no help for us. The only help for us is to completely surrender at the feet of Yeshua and say, you know what? I don't have it going on, and I'm never going to have it going on, and I just completely surrender to you. Whatever you tell me, I will do. When you get to that place right there, that is true humility. It's not what people see and not what people think and not what people, you know, judge you from your outward appearance. It's true surrender to Jesus. Whatever you say, I'm going to make her done, get her done. Okay? That's when you're truly humble. But that's also when God exalts you and lifts you up and puts you back in that position of power and says, go out there and bring my kingdom to your realm. Look, your realm in a nursing home might just be your bed. But if you bring the kingdom of God to your bed and maybe your nightstand and the folks that come in and deal with you all day long, then that's your realm. You done good. And depending upon how much health you have, he may grant you extended realm by letting you take it out into the cafeteria. All right, if your health is bad enough, that may be all you get. But you bring the kingdom of God to whatever realm you have. If your realm is a house and a piece of property and a car, then you bring the kingdom of God to that. Right? Then he might grant you a better house and a better car and a better piece of property. Or he might just let you start expanding it to your neighbors. Hey, we like multiplication. See, that's the way God works. If we can be faithful in little, then He'll be faithful by giving us much. Now, you don't bring the kingdom of God to earth by fighting. You bring it by building. You bring it by building. Okay? Like I said, we all go through things in our life, and at times we get busy and overwhelmed. And then you begin to see the kingdom of the devil build itself in your living space. How do you recognize it? It looks like wreck and ruin and disorder. And you got to go in there and clean it up. That's bringing the kingdom of God back into that living space. You know, the kingdom of the devil always manifests itself in wreck and ruin. If you walk into the place you have responsibility for and it's all a tumbled mess of chaos, that's showing you that the devil is running amok in that space. Clean it up. When you clean it up, you brought the kingdom of God back into it. See, it's something you do in the natural that prefigures what's going on in the spiritual. So when you bring order and beauty to chaos, you kick the devil out of the space. Come on. What did Jesus say? When you throw the devil out, he goes into dry spaces, and when he comes back, he finds the house neat and clean and swept. Right? Kingdom of God reimposed. Now, you don't let the dude back in the door. I don't care how many buddies he brings. So that's when you break out the AK and you drop them all in the yard. You do it by building. You do it by building. Now, the kingdom of God starts with one man and one woman makes a family. If one man and one woman equals warfare, that's not the kingdom of God, it's the kingdom of the devil. One man and one woman is supposed to make family, whether it's a family of two individuals or if they have children. Makes no difference. One man and one woman makes a family. And that's the way it has to be. If it makes warfare, that's not the kingdom of God. That's the kingdom of the devil. The devil's kingdom is characterized by fighting and warfare and ugliness. In relationships, not only in surroundings. So one man and one woman has to equal a family. As new people come in, guess what? They got their own wants, their own desires, and their own self-interests, and now it becomes harder to maintain family around multiple peoples who all have competing and often conflicting interests and wants and desires. But it still has to equal the kingdom of God, not warfare. You follow what I'm saying? So, you see, there's a level in the natural with your surroundings that have to look like the kingdom of God. Then there's the next level up and your relationships have to look like the kingdom of God. Oh, now that makes it more difficult. It's easy to fix it in the natural, but it's another thing to fix it in the psychology. Amen? I'm preaching good now. I got real quiet. Now, if we're not going to bring the kingdom of God into earth and our realm, then we are revoking our own authority. A lot of people say they walk in authority. Well, I'm going to take authority over this and authority over that. Look, if your life is not reflecting the kingdom of God, you don't have any authority to take. Your authority comes from bringing the kingdom of God. That's the covenant. That's your grant. If you want to rock Satan's world, you bring the kingdom of God into your own. So that's good. I'm going to say it again. If you want to rock Satan's world, you bring the kingdom of God into your own world. See, people want to have spiritual warfare with all the showing out. Look, I love doing it too, but the yelling, the hollering, the screaming, the jumping around and yelling at demons doesn't do half of what your activity does. Your daily, steady, solid activity. What happens to me when I get under a real intense attack? I go and I sit down at my desk and I do something for this ministry or this church. No matter how bad the attack is, I go back to my desk and I do something to advance the realm of what we've got going on here. Why? Because that's what rocks the devil's world. When he's trying to rock my world, I go in there and rock him back by doing something positive to build the kingdom of God on earth. Oh, he hates that. I love it. All right, let's go to Hosea 6. I want you to see that there is, in fact, a covenant of Adam and that the stuff I'm telling you is not just something weird I made up. Hosea 6 and verse 7. And then we're going to close it out in the New Testament. Like Adam, they have broken the covenant. You see, Adam had a covenant to subdue the world and bring the kingdom of God into it. But he broke the covenant. And God cursed him to go back and live it out. Some curse, huh? He imposed on him by divine order, you will go live out the terms of my covenant. Maybe not quite as good as it would have been if he had just done it, but that's always the way it is. Do you want to bring trouble to the devil? Do you want to bring trouble to the devil? I don't know about y'all. I mean, I'm just weird. But I love to bring trouble to the devil. Then you go back into your world. You go back into your realm of influence. And you bring the kingdom of God into it. You make it look like His kingdom. There's peace. There's harmony. There's rule. The rule of God's law. There's happiness and joy and order. And so that's what you do. You go back into your realm and you bring those things. And as far as it relies on you, you make those things happen in your realm to the best of your several ability. That will rock the devil's world. And believe me, you'll see the demonic come at you right away. And what you do is you smile and you just keep on pushing that because you have authority. You see, you don't have to yell at the devil and tell him your authority. You just do it. Come on now. She got the Nike symbol on her knee. You don't have to yell at the devil and tell him what you're going to do. You just go do it in his face because he can't stop you. Now what's more powerful? Yelling at him, ramming it down his throat. What's he going to do? You keep bringing the kingdom of God into your realm of sphere and influence, and you keep cutting those little demons off with their thorns and their thistles and their weeds. What's he going to do? You just keep jamming it. Well, as you keep encroaching on his ground, he's going to keep backing up. It's like the dog whisperer Lanice likes to watch all the time. You back the dog down by just stepping into his space. Same way with the devil. You don't got to yell at him. I mean, you can if you want to have some fun some night, but I mean, you know, I mean, that really doesn't do a whole lot to him. I mean, hey, we all like to vent a little steam sometimes, all right? But you back him down by just stepping on in there. And you back him down. What's he going to do? You have authority, see? You don't have to yell about your authority. You demonstrate your authority in his face. I like that. I don't know about y'all, but that gets me excited. Let's go to Romans 5. So you go back. You make your house your living space, your area, your sphere. You make it beautiful. You make it orderly. You make it demonstrate the mind of Christ in that area. And he ain't going to like that. You go to your car and you clean it up. You make it look like the kingdom of God. And guess what? The devil doesn't like that. You know how fast? The next time you get it out of your car, you'll watch dirt get tracked in. That's how bad he doesn't like it. So you have to worry about it every single time you track a piece of dirt in. Just regular schedule. Keep it up. Regular schedule. Keep it up. You know, bringing the kingdom of God right into your sphere of influence. All the time. All the time. Romans 5, verse 12. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man and death through sin, and in this way death came to all men because all sinned. You see, he's talking about Adam. Okay, Adam did not sin, as he's going to point out here, by breaking the Torah. The Torah was not given until Moses. He sinned by refusing to bring the kingdom of God into his circumstances, and hey, we all have. Okay, and what we just read, we all have done that. Therefore, before the law was given, sin was in the world, but sin is not taken into account where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even over those who did not sin by breaking a command, as did Adam. You see, he was commanded, go forth and subdue the earth. He was commanded, go forth and bring the kingdom of God into the earth. And every one of us, as a son of Adam, or a daughter of Adam, has to come into this covenant. This type of covenant was given in such a way that for you, the descendants, to walk in the covenant of Adam, you have to be loyal to the covenant. Okay, Adam was given the covenant. For you to have the authority and the grant of power to subdue the earth, you've got to be loyal and faithful to your sovereign by walking in the covenant. It was given to Adam, but for you to have it, you've got to walk in it. That's why I said before, if you refuse to walk by the terms of the covenant, you don't have any authority or power in it. You have no benefit from it. You get your benefit and your power and your authority by your loyalty and fidelity to your king and bringing his kingdom into your circumstance. You subdue it. You subdue it by bringing the kingdom of God into your realm. That's how you subdue. Like I said, you make the kingdom of God on earth by building it, not by fighting for it. Jesus has already won that victory. All you have to do, like the men of Nehemiah and the wall, is just build the wall. Amen? Just build it in your life. But the gift is not like the trespass. For if the many died by the trespass of the one man, how much more did God's grace and the gift that came by that grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to the many? In other words, if you've accepted him into your life, you're automatically put back in this covenant, provided you'll walk in it. You didn't get that. Adam sinned and he died. And every one of us, like Adam, has refused to bring the kingdom of God into our world at some point in our life and brought death to our body. But now that Jesus has died in our place, the grace of God is going to restore to you the grant of Adamic power to subdue your world and bring the kingdom of God into it, provided you will actually walk in the covenant and bring the kingdom of God into your realm. Ooh, that's powerful. That's a major source of authority and power. You've been given power to subdue all the forces of the enemy. Didn't that what Jesus said? I've given you power to trample on scorpions and snakes. In our case, read thistles and weeds. I've given you power to trample, but you've got to go out there and build the kingdom of God in your realm in order to have that power. That's where so many people who are not building the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God has Shabbat off. The kingdom of God doesn't have pigs and shrimp and lobster in it. It follows the dietary laws. The kingdom of God brings its tithes into His storehouse. The kingdom of God is taking the holy days off to go celebrate before Him with joy. You see what I'm saying? So if you're not walking in the Torah, you're not bringing the kingdom of God into your realm. Oh. And that's why I love to hear these people who aren't living the life, oh, well, I'm walking in the authority of this covenant or that covenant. Oh, really? Well, you're not walking in the covenant, so how can you walk in its authority? If you're not going to be loyal and have the integrity to walk in the covenant, you can't have the authority that goes with it because they were granted at the same time. So you're either bringing the kingdom of God into your realm through the grace of Jesus or you're not. And if you're not, you're acquiescing to let the kingdom of the devil overrun your territory. Look, every vassal king had an obligation to defend the realm of the greater king from enemies of the state. That is why when Pharaoh goes to Carchemish to meet his end with Nebuchadnezzar, Josiah comes out and fights him. Why? Because Josiah of Judah was a vassal king of Nebuchadnezzar and was required to go out and meet the enemies of the realm and fight them. Pharaoh said, go back in your place. I got no fight with you. But Josiah honored his covenant with Nebuchadnezzar and died there. A premature and early death. You, as a subject of the kingdom of God, are required as a condition of your loyalty and fidelity to Yeshua, Messiah, to fight the kingdom of the devil and not allow the devil to overrun your territory in his realm. You see what I'm saying? So every time you let the kingdom of the devil overwhelm your realm and overrun your territory, you have not been loyal and faithful to your king. By the grace of God, we have been restored to that place. Now we must defend the realm from the enemy. And you've been given power to subdue them. It's not like you have to go out and win this great war. All you have to do is go into your realm and build the kingdom of God there. Wherever it is, build the kingdom of God in your area of influence and responsibility. And that right there will do more damage to the devil than he wants to see in a day's time. Again, the gift of God is not like the result of one man's sin. The judgment followed one sin and brought condemnation, but the gift followed many trespasses and brought justification. For if by the trespass of the one man death reigned through that one man, speaking of Adam, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? Consequently, just as the result of the one trespass was condemnation for all men, so also the result of one act of righteousness was justification that brings life for all men. The kingdom of God is characterized by life, and the kingdom of the devil is characterized by death. Life is not sitting there watching everything else progress. Life is going out and living it. Life is taking care of your family. Life is taking care of your house. Life is taking care of your property. That is so common to all mankind. None of us is going to escape that. The only question is whether or not we'll actually take care of the realm God has given us or whether we're going to watch the devil overrun the space. You follow what I'm saying? So if we will take the grace of God that put us back in the covenant and we will go out and subdue the power of the enemy in our realm, we will walk in the Adamic covenant and we will have the power and authority over the enemy everywhere we go. That's stout. Doesn't come from the speaking it, it comes from the living it. It doesn't come from the showboating in front of the crowd, it comes from the every day I get up and I make it happen. Every day I get up and I make it happen. Now look, you know, they used to tell me this when I was a janitor salesman. The best run places I ever called on, the guys always had free time. The worst run places I called on, the guys were run to death and never had time to talk or find something new or even place an order. What was the difference? One guy finally told me. He said, son, I have a system of cleaning these properties. He had like six buildings. He said, I clean a day's worth of dirt every day. And I've got my system. I'm going to do this here and this here and this here and this here on a schedule. Now, if something happens today and I have to work extra hard to maintain my system, I will do whatever it takes to maintain my system. Because I'm cleaning the days with the dirt every day. That's all I have to do. The other guy's got to clean up a wreck all the time because they let it get out of hand. And then they're always behind the eight ball trying to get it back in hand. So if you set your life up on a system, yeah, time and circumstance will happen to you like everybody else, and you'll have to really work hard on this day or that day to get it back in your system. But you know what? As a janitor over a lot of buildings, I realized I will fight to the death today to maintain my system because my system's what gets me my time off. Come on, everybody. If you'll set your life up on a system of running by God's way of thinking and His laws and His commandments, advancing the kingdom of God, you'll only have to fight a day's worth of demons every day and you'll have this thing online. You won't have to go out and fight all the demons that have been afflicting you your whole life, just today's demons. Oh. And then every now and then a little something bad will happen and you'll have, that'll be a day. You'll have to kick it up and do whatever's required to maintain God's system in your realm. But by maintaining God's system in your realm, you will have shalom. You will have love. You will have joy. You will have patience. You will have kindness and goodness and faithfulness and humility and self-control because your realm will be under the complete rule of Yeshua HaMashiach and you will have time to advance the kingdom of God. Come on, y'all. Lessons from the janitor closet. You've been bought and redeemed by your sovereign. But you weren't bought and redeemed by your sovereign to just lay around and watch the enemies of his realm do what they want. You were bought and redeemed by your sovereign. He owns you lock, stock, and barrel. Therefore, you have to go out and build his kingdom in the lives of other people. You were bought to advance his territory. You were bought to carry the kingdom of God to other people. That's why we have all the messages to give out. That's why we have all the books to give out. Your job is to advance his kingdom everywhere you can. Knight of the realm. Do you want Jesus active in your life? Do you want Yeshua active in your life? Then build his kingdom because that's what he's interested in. That's what his focus is. That's what his top priority is building his kingdom. And if you're building his kingdom, believe me, he will be very active in your life because you see, you're walking in his will. You're doing his will. You're doing what he wants. You're working for his kingdom and that's where his priorities are. So if you want to be a priority in the mind and life of Yeshua, I mean above just being a believer, you work for his kingdom. You work hard for his kingdom. The harder you work and the more you do for the kingdom of God, the more intense interested he's going to be in your life. Come on. See, too many Christians want to go to the Lord. Bless me, bless me, bless me. I need, I want, I need, I want. And you know, he's got about that much concern for all of that. Isn't it what he said? Don't be worried about what you eat. Don't be worried about what you drink. Don't be worried about what you dress. Seek first the kingdom of God and he'll add all that stuff to you. See, he's not interested in adding stuff to you if you're not interested in building his kingdom. He'll give you what you need, right? But you know what? We live in America and we can live on a lot less. We got a lot of stuff we have we don't need to have. Trust me, I'm working with these folks in Africa and India and they getting by just fine, thank you, on stuff that kill us. Okay? So he's not interested in how much food you get to eat and how much nice luxury you have in your house or what great a car. He's interested in advancing his kingdom. And if you want all that stuff, then you'll advance his kingdom because that's how he rewards his workers. Come on now. He ain't slack. He's not trifling. He's not going to reward somebody with all this great stuff that doesn't do a thing for his kingdom. He's interested in rewarding folks that are trying to build souls for the kingdom of God. But you know what? If your realm doesn't reflect the kingdom of God, how are you going to win souls for it? If your life doesn't reflect the kingdom of God, why are people going to want to do what you're doing? If your life doesn't reflect the image of Jesus and how you walk and how you live and how you talk and how you dress, what makes you think that the world is going to want to change to be like you? They're already living according to their kingdom. If you're diligent and successful, then He'll expand your grant of territory in souls. You know, souls come with the territory. You realize that, right? You don't just win people. You win a grant of new territory, and then you have the opportunity to win those souls in that territory. Think about how He works it out in the natural. One man and one woman equals a family. If they don't get along, there ain't going to be no children. But if they get along and they're in love, it's kind of hard to keep them from happening. Come on, we got a lot of folks that know what I'm saying. All right? Now, as you can handle that realm, He expands it, not always by additional children, but by friends. Look, people come up all the time. Why? Your children are so well-mannered. Your children are behaving in a public space. It draws people to you. Come on, somebody. As your life reflects the kingdom of God, it draws. What did He say? Lift me up, I'll draw all men to myself. You lift Him up by living His kingdom in the face of a wicked world. They can't help but come to you. They can't stop it. And then you have an answer. Well, we live by the Bible. Oh, the Bible, what'd you bring that up for? Because I'm a member of the kingdom of God and I'm advancing it at every turn. That's the way we've got to be. Corinthians 15, verse 43. First Corinthians 15. It is sown in dishonor, your body. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural, then there's also a spiritual. Okay, the natural comes first. If your life in the natural does not reflect the kingdom of God, don't expect your spiritual life to follow through. You can work on your spiritual life all you want to. If your natural life is reflecting the power of the devil, it's not going to have any effect because natural comes before spiritual. You clean up your walk, then the spiritual stuff starts to get good. So it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being, and every one of us have become a living being. But the second man, Adam, a life-giving spirit. The first man, Adam, was given a soul. He became a living being and he could go out and he could put the kingdom of God onto the earth. But he had a spiritual problem. You've been given a life-giving spirit from the second Adam, the last man, Adam, Yeshua, who now is living in you to bring the kingdom of God into your world and into your realm. All you have to do is go out and build, because not only do you have the power and authority that comes from the grant of your covenant, you also have the power of Yeshua living in your life to make it so. The spiritual did not come first, but the natural, and after that, the spiritual. That's why I emphasized so heavily in the beginning that if your life in the natural does not reflect the kingdom of God, your life in the spirit doesn't either. Because it says it right here. The natural comes first. You clean up the natural, and the spiritual will clean up by itself. See, the devil always wants you to fight a natural problem in the spirit. Why is that? Because nothing gets done. Nothing gets done. If you've got a problem in the natural and you never address it and all you do is pray about it, but you never take any constructive steps in the natural, guess what? You're defeated. And you're not coming off the mat. Your problem in the natural is going to stay there till you move your body parts and fix it. Come on. When you move your body parts and fix it, guess what? What do you need to pray for? You need to pray for so you'll actually take the motivation and the gumption to get up and do it. The problem is not in stopping the devil. The problem is getting you motivated. Come on. I've seen this so many times in so many people. We had a whole bunch of people. You hear us talking about the Fantastic Four. They came in, they're all so spiritual, they're no earthly good. They couldn't even go to work. Well, if you've got a money problem and you can't pay your rent, go take any job and pay the rent. You can pray all you want to. You're not going to be able to write a check out of your checkbook until you go put a check into your checkbook. So as long as the devil kept them yelling at him in the spirit, they were defeated utterly. See, we get so spiritually minded, we're no earthly good. Fix the natural first, and the spirit will fall right in line. Now, when you've got a spiritual problem, that's a different ball game. But when you've got a natural problem, fix it in the natural. The devil wants to keep you so spiritual, you never take a positive, constructive action. When you're dealing with a problem in the natural, it's the motion of body parts that fixes it. Sit down, bring the kingdom of God into your realm. Bring the kingdom of God into your realm. If it's a natural problem, in the Torah will be a natural answer, and you just resolve it. What do you need the prayer for? The encouragement to go out and actually do it. The gumption to go out and actually do it. You need a place to live. Okay? You go find out. This is what they cost. Now go get the money to match up with the cost, right? Doesn't matter whether you're renting or buying. Makes no difference. There's a cost associated. Cost comes from working. What did the Lord tell us to do? Work hard. Look, we forget Jesus is Jewish. We forget He's Jewish. Now look, the folks that meet in this temple, the congregation of B'nai Israel, are awesome and wonderful people. And none of them has ever entertained the idea that money's just going to show up at the house. None of them. I've known them for years. They realize that I want this level of lifestyle, so I'm going to go out and get this level of money. A bigger level than my lifestyle, obviously, right? Right? If they want a lifestyle of $50,000 a year, they go earn $100,000. See, they're smart. They don't earn $45,000 for a $50,000 lifestyle and hope it makes it. They go earn $100,000. Because they know that's what's going to take. We got to get like that. Look, we have the Spirit of God living in us. You've got the Spirit of the Jewish Messiah living in you. You should think more and more Jewish every day. Huh? Come on. You should think more Jewish. You should be looking for sales. You should be finding the best deals. Why? Because that's the way Jesus thinks. Come on, y'all. Y'all looking at me like I'm funny today. Jesus is Jewish. He doesn't pay $10 for something he can get for $5. Come on now. We shouldn't be paying $15 for something we can get for $5. Come on. Jesus is Jewish. They're so practical and thoughtful. That's the way we got to be. Practical and thoughtful. Right? He's living in us. Oh, but the problem is, you see, we keep him locked in that closet. Well now, Lord, I just want to do this the way I want to do it. You just get back in that closet over here so I can go do what I want. The problem is we need to step back out the way and say, come on, Lord, just make it happen, you know? Because I know you can find that $5 deal for that $15 item. I just know you can do it, and praise God, I'm going to be right there to whip the cash out when you tell me you're ready. See, we got to acquiesce to our sovereign a little more and start living like him, because he doesn't do that silly stuff we do all the time. Now, the first man was of the dust of the earth, and the second man from heaven. As was the earthly man, so are those that are of the earth. And just as we have borne the likeness of the earthly man, so shall we bear the likeness of the man from heaven. We're going to walk in this covenant with him. We got to bear his likeness. We got to bear his likeness. It's his kingdom, and that's what we're supposed to bring into the earth. His kingdom. And that means if we're going to bear his likeness and bring his kingdom, it means it has to look like his kingdom when we get finished. Amen? It's got to look like his kingdom when we get finished. And so, look, so many times we come into conflict with something in ourselves and we say, well, that's just not me. Hey, you're right, it's not you. It's him. What do you want? You want you and the stuff you've brought? Or do you want him and the stuff he's bringing? Now, for some of y'all, you were pretty good folks, and so what you brought, you liked. It was real easy for me. What I brought, I didn't like. And it never worked out. And wreck and ruin followed me. I will never forget standing on the beach of my property, looking around going, man, I made a wreck of this place. It looked pretty good before I started coming up here. Before I bought this place, it actually looked nice. Man, it looks awful. It's just a total wreck. And after a while, I started realizing, you know, everywhere you go, son, you leave a trail. Well, what was that? Pig Pen and the comic strip Peanuts? I mean, I was Pig Pen. Wherever I went, it was wreck and ruin following me. Chaos everywhere I've been. That's not the way it's supposed to be. It's supposed to look like the kingdom of God with beauty and order and right and in its place. God doesn't leave wreck and ruin where He goes. We do. So we got to give up. No, you're right. It's not us. We got to give up us. And we got to bring in Him. Because He's not going to bring that wreck and ruin that characterized the way we did things. He's going to bring order and dignity and prosperity. And if we've been born again, then we possess the power and authority of the man from heaven, Yeshua. And if we're bringing the kingdom of God into this earth, if we're just going to do our thing, then we have nothing but a resumption of the curse. Yeshua brought you out of the curse for His kingdom, so we need to get busy for our sovereign.